Yo MTG Taps is sponsored by LegitMTG.com. Strategy, streams, and singles, LegitMTG has it all. Oh yeah, and now us. So check us out every
Friday
on LegitMTG.com and stop back every weekday for more great Magic the Gathering content and product.
I wonder who my competition tonight gonna be. I know it ain't gonna be nobody up in here. Stay up in here. Stay up in here.
Magnetic. F-14. W. Organized campaign, I'm on my third route. The album just dropped, I'm trying to get the word out. Superhero theme music, Ron Sleep walking, snoring. The Les Rails for Bart was recorded. My first stop was Sway in the Morning. Was greeted by Heather B. Toto was a fan since The Real World on MTV. Now I MC, five fingers of death, couldn't chin check me. Not before I had to get bars right, rehearsing. Was asked about my upbringing, how long I've been working. And Sway's hair rap, look bigger in person. Was rhyming like it was a wake up show. Homie tough, I got raps for days. Gotta say something for Tony Touch. My phone is all sorry, I can't talk right now. I'm busy, traveling, making my rounds. I sat down next on the schedule, a static selector, sure ready, yo.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Yo MTG Taps. I'm Big Head Joe.
And I'm Stephen Marshall.
And it's 11 p.m. on a Monday, and we are recording this podcast right before I leave for my trip. We're going to record. I'm going to stay up all night and edit, submit it, and then leave for Baltimore at 6 in the morning. So I've got a long night ahead of me of no sleep and editing and getting caught up on soccer. So it should be pretty fun. The main subject tonight is we want to talk about Sealed. So I'm
You
playing...
want to talk about Sealed.
Well, yes, I want to talk about Sealed, but you would want to talk about Sealed too if you were going to Atlanta.
If I were, yes.
Yes. And whose fault is that?
I don't think we should get into that now.
Well, anyway, I'm going to Atlanta this weekend, and this Sealed format has proven to be a pretty tough challenge. I've actually, and it's funny because I keep saying that, but lately I've been having a little more trouble with the drafts. Like, I'm right back where I was. I feel like I've done a lot of work on Sealed and have gotten pretty much caught up on the format. But I feel like I've slacked off a little on my drafts. I don't know what it's been. I feel like I've been falling into the same patterns that I used to fall into before I really nailed down my fundamentals of draft. And I haven't been paying attention to what I'm passing. I've just been trying to force things that aren't necessarily there. But that's not really something for us to talk about tonight.
Yeah, this is all going to have to come from, like, was it like theory crafting for me, because I haven't touched a Magic card in 3 weeks.
That's okay.
I've thought about it, though. I've read some articles. I've looked at it. I was looking at the cards. I was thinking about it.
I actually haven't looked at that Relax article yet.
Oh, really?
It's
really good.
I will look at it, obviously, before the event starts, but I haven't had a chance to really dig into it yet. I've been just busy actually playing Sealed.
I mean, it builds on kind of what we looked at initially with the results of GP Madison by looking at, like, the undefeated day one decks.
Yeah.
He just does it with, like, slightly bigger sample size.
Right, right. And that's cool.
Yeah, it actually came to a lot of the same conclusions we did.
Cool.
Where it's like you can get away with, and the format's slow enough for you to just have some really bad mana bases, like 666.
Yeah. Which were, it's Halloween is over, freak.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, whatever. So before we get into the Atlanta prep stuff, I just wanted to take a moment to talk about the Legacy Grand Prix in Seattle last weekend. I know we said we weren't going to talk about it, but the event was won by Jarvis Yu, who is an East Coast guy. I'm almost certain he's a Baltimore guy. Definitely played against him a lot at the local level, at least at competitive events. when I lived in Maryland. Really cool to see him win. He was playing Lands. I didn't get a chance to watch the coverage, but what I was told about the coverage is that the top eight can pretty much be summed up as Jarvis Yu, giant grin on his face, playing Lands faster than anyone's ever seen anyone play Lands before. So just a cool visual there. Makes me want to go back and actually watch the matches. Just, he was in a zone, you know, and it's just cool to like to hear about that. Also, I just wanted to mention that he beat Christian Calcano in the finals. Calcano was on Grixis Delver. And in the top eight, Martin Goldman Kirst playing Allurin.
Nice.
With just some of the dregs of
comments. Wow, these are legacy staples.
These are just the weirdest.
Through and through.
The weirdest legacy cards to ever see play. Really a neat deck. I don't want to get into it much because we've got a lot to cover for Limited. But congratulations to Jarvis. I want to make sure that he's not the only Maryland guy to win a GP this month. So Atlanta's going to be pretty fun. Another thing that I have to say is that it's appropriate that an East Coast person won the Legacy Grand Prix, because Legacy is probably most popular on the East Coast of the U.S. It's telling that Star City's only Legacy Open is in Philadelphia for the first quarter of 2016, because they know this fact. They know that Legacy is the most popular on the East Coast, more so than anywhere else in the state, or in the country, rather. I don't know about the world. I have a feeling that there are other areas of the world that where Legacy is more popular, but I don't know that. I can only speak about America, and fortunately for us, America is the world. So, you know.
As a true statement.
It is. So, you know, good stuff. And Steven's been out helping make America great again.
Mm-hmm. Trying.
In his quest to wear that damn hat in every photo I see of him.
Yeah, I wear the hat and I drink beer in different places in America, thus making it great again.
And you're going to be on a road trip for the next month. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You'll probably pop in and out of the podcast over that next month, and you know, I'll find some people to fill in along the way.
I'll probably have more time to keep up with what's going on in Magic than previously, because there'll just be a lot of sitting in the passenger seat of the car.
Right. So you're not going to be driving.
I'll be driving like half the time.
Sure. Cool. Well, that sounds fun. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about that as you go. But meantime, we've got this event coming up. So like I said, sealed.
You've got this event.
Yeah.
I'm still bitter. I don't know if you can tell.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I really feel like this would be like just a really good opportunity to do well at GP, because you've already played a GP in that format. It's coming off the chance that I actually like test for it, which has always been kind of my issue with these limited formats, where I'll play a GP in that format, and then the next month after that, I'll just absolutely kill it after I learned all my mistakes from that GP.
Right. Yeah, it's good. And I feel like that is definitely an advantage, the fact that I got to play in Madison, Wisconsin, and I would say probably 5% of the field in Atlanta will have shared that experience.
That's probably a good guess.
Yeah.
And the other thing is just that normally you don't get bit too hard by just practicing a ton of draft for a sealed format. It's like, understand the limited format in general.
Right.
But I do feel like Battle for Zendikar, sealed versus draft, is the disparity between the two is a lot higher than normal.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. There's so many radical theories even on the draft format. Like Owen's theory to never draft Green under any circumstance, which I think is wrong. I don't think that's correct.
I think it is. I don't think it's correct. I just think, like, it is the weakest color. That's all there is to it. But, like, there are green-based allies decks and some green-based landfall aggro decks that are good, but that's about it. And you got to know what you're doing. Like, it has to have synergies. It has to be the overrun allies deck, or it has to be the landfall deck, and you need to be getting those cards. Because if you get the cards from, like, one of each, like, it's just not going to work together.
Mm-hmm.
I have fallen into the black green colorless devoid like swarm deck a couple times.
I think it's very good. You don't think it's good?
I think it's inconsistent. Like, I'll win two matches by a mile, and then I'll just draw the wrong end of my deck, or they just have like key removal at the right time, uh-huh, and it just totally collapses. Like, I've never 3-0'd with that deck. I've 2-1'd a couple times, and I've 1-2'd one time. That was a weird draft because the swarm surge didn't table, which was troubling.
I haven't drafted green. I don't think I think that's a statement I can make across the board. I think I maybe have never drafted green, to be honest. Mm. But I don't.
I've drafted my share of Tajuru Beastmasters and Tajuru Warcallers. So,
but I don't think that never drafting green is correct.
Oh, think, absolutely not.
I think that that's extreme. I think that sometimes you're gonna start seeing cards that are just better than the other cards that in your packs, and you just go into it.
Oh, it's easy. Open a Tajuru Warcaller.
Yeah, I can see that. But we're going to focus on Sealed today. I am going to cram some drafts next week because I feel like I'm getting to a point where I have a decent understanding of the Sealed. But I just want to review it. So what we did is we went through, and it's funny because the rares, that's weird that there were only like 5 or 6 rares in each color. So we pretty much ranked all the rares. It was weird.
Yeah, there were some where I just like did 3.
Yeah.
I'm like, I the other 2 do not deserve ranking.
Right. It was funny that in blue, there were exactly 6 rares. And one of them was Prism Array.
Yeah, I think blue is one of the ones where I'm like,
yeah,
this doesn't deserve all 5.
Yeah. So we ranked our top 5 commons in each color for Sealed, our top 5 uncommons in each color, and our top 5 rares or mythics in each color. And then we ranked top 5 lands, and we ranked other, top 5 other. You did gold, didn't you? Because I didn't do gold. I actually mixed gold with artifacts and colorless.
Yeah, I did that.
Okay. Which was a unique challenge because it was tough to like judge certain gold cards over certain colorless cards. But I'm glad I did it that way. It was neat. Now my common lists, I've left 1 slot, not open, but with a tie in every color.
Yeah, so, there are a few ties for me.
For discussion purposes mostly. But also because I'm genuinely unsure of where that slot should be. If anyone's seen High Fidelity, you know how hard it is to make a top 5 list and how that number 5 is just the hardest thing to fill in. So kind of reflected that.
Timely reference, as usual.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Well, let's get to it. I think we'll come to a definitive ranking of all the best commons in Battle for Zendikar, no questions.
Yeah. Our band is the Kinky Wizards.
What color you want to start with?
Our band's the Kinky Wizards.
Oh, God.
So let's just start with white. Let's just do it, Wooburg.
All right.
And we'll just go down the list. So my top 5 white commons are, best to worst, Gideon's Reproach, Sheer Drop, Courier Griffin, Ghostly Sentinel, and then in the 5th slot, Shadow Glider or Lithomancer's Focus. So, Lithomancer's Focus is a super cheap combat trick that can essentially counter several spells without giving you that entirely protection from clause or anything like that, or hexproof, but you can use it to take your creature out of complete disregard range. It does nullify Touch of the Void entirely. It can save your creature. It also works as a combat trick, which is good. Shadow Glider is a 2/2 flyer for 3, which I really like, but the only problem is it doesn't match up great with like Sky Spawner or Courier Griffin or Ghostly Sentinel that are also on my list. So, which is why it has the potential to fall off the top five. So those are the two that I'm kind of on the fence about. Which one do you like better and why?
Probably Shadow Glider, but if you already have a bunch of flyers in your top five, then I would probably say Lithomancer's Focus. It's the only real trick, like, across any of the colors that I have ranked in the top five for commons.
Here's the thing, though. If there are already two flyers in my top five, you know why that is? It's because flyers are so freaking good in sealed that they should be ranked. And I feel like having the third one is almost just good. I mean, I would rather have... I almost feel like I would have rather have in my deck all three of those cards than the two and the Lithomancer's Focus.
Yeah, Lithomancer's Focus is not something you're like, oh, good, I got that. But Shadow Glider is something that's a lot harder to replace because there's not a lot of really good two and three drops.
Right. You know, it's
and that's
true.
A solid three drop.
It's a very solid three drop, very solid. And having that curve of three into four into five is just amazing if you can get it. It's something that I love to do in draft because I think that the flyers are just good through draft and through sealed. The flyers are just amazing. But the trick, it's so funny. I feel like I've played around Lithomancer's Focus 20 times more than I've actually had it blow me out. Like, I feel like it's the one trick that I've played around so many times and my opponents never had it.
Yeah, I feel like my opponents have had Encircling Fissure more often than Lithomancer's Focus.
Yeah.
Although you remember when the thing is, you remember when they cast an Encircling Fissure. You don't necessarily remember when they cast a Lithomancer's Focus.
No, I think I would because I've waited and waited and waited. And then I'm like, well, screw it. I'm going to cast this Complete Disregard, and they either have the trick or they don't. And they never do. They never have it. Never, ever have it.
Probably the reason that you have to like play around it so much is just it's really easy to leave open. To bluff.
Yeah, but I feel like it's bluffed more. Like, is anyone actually playing this freaking card? Like, is anyone actually playing it?
The ratio of when I leave up a white specifically to pretend like I have it versus when I actually have it is at least 10 to 1.
Me too. Maybe Lithomancer's Focus isn't like needed. Like, maybe it's a free slot. Maybe
it's kind of like Jazz. It's the times you don't have it that really no. I don't,
but really though, like, maybe just leaving up one white is just as good as running the card. So maybe that frees up a deck slot. I'm going with Shadow Glider.
Good.
Because I think that just representing Lithomancer's Focus is all you need. You don't actually need to run the card. I think that's what we've decided. I think we've decided that you don't need to run it because just leaving up white is good enough. So anyway, so that's my top five. I want to hear yours.
All right. My five from first to worst, or at least fifth.
Right.
Sheer Drop, Gideon's Reproach, Shadow Glider, Ghostly Sentinel, and then Lithomancer's Focus with a note, not super important though.
That's funny. Obviously the most glaring omission from your list is Courier Griffin. Why would you not have, I mean, I have Courier Griffin above the other two flyers. Why would you not think Courier Griffin is better than the other two flyers?
I just don't think a 2-3 flyer for four is something that you can't replace elsewhere.
It doesn't sound impressive.
No, it blocks
Skyspawner, Shadow Glider.
Yeah, and that's it. That's its value.
It blocks a lot of things on the ground, too. They don't have to, it doesn't have, like, it's not the can only block creatures with flying.
Sure, but, I mean, most of the good ground creatures at, like, 2 and 3 are, like the Valigut Predator and stuff like that, where it doesn't block those.
That's true.
It's good at blocking, like, two cards in the format, specifically.
Right. But I've always felt like having it come down and gaining that two life is good, and then, you know, you can pretty much swing in with it and not have to worry every turn. Whereas, like, Shadow Glider, you play that, if they've already played it, if they follow up with a Skyspawner, like, you just can't attack. Or you can attack and hold up a white... If they just take the damage because they think you have Lithomancer's Focus. So, you know, but I like Courier Griffin. So why did you, okay, I get why you put Sheer Drop above Gideon's Reproach. I just like the mana efficient trick that's gonna almost always get him.
I just like the 2-for-1.
Yeah, the six mana sheer drop is better than 2 mana Gideon's Reproach, but I just like the Gideon's Reproach, especially against like early aggression, because it just, I mean, it just comes down on 2. Not a lot of the removal comes down on 2.
No, I mean, it's good to have a mix, because like eventually your third sheer drop is not as good as your like first Gideon's Reproach.
Right. Oh, they're both great. They're 1 and 2 on both of our lists.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like one of us thinks that one is ridiculously worse than the other. It's just a preference thing. I like having the instant speed, and I like having the earlier removal.
Yeah, I think with the Courier Griffin, I'm just spoiled by Sky Spawner.
Sure.
And I'm like, 4 mana for 2 power? I don't think so.
Right.
Sky Spawner, 3 mana for 2 power in the air, plus 1 mana on the ground, like 1 power on the ground. That's a conditional mana ramp.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's nothing wrong with that at all. Another card, well, you know, one card I just want to give honorable mention to that I never thought I'd be able to give honorable mention to is Fortified Rampart.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the 06 wall? Playable. It's really good. Like, why is that so damn good? It's so good.
Yeah, it gets a ribbon of participation.
There's no damn way I'm putting in the top 5, but it's hella playable.
Yeah, and not even like a sarcastic one. Like,
no.
This is actually, you're actually, you know, you can participate in a game of Magic, and I didn't think you could.
Nope, I didn't think so at all. But man, does it clog up the ground real quick. It is a real pain to deal with. Yeah, it's good. Okay, so uncommons, white uncommons. Here's my list. I've got, and I didn't do any like either ors for these. I just straight up did these. So my white uncommon list is number 1, Stasis Snare, which I actually saw one in a draft. Sasquatch is real. I was so amazed. They got passed to me. I didn't even open it. I got past a Stasis Snare, and I just windmill. So I was like, never seen one of these before. Now's the time. Number 2, Angel of Renewal. Number 3, Retreat to Emeria. Number 4, Encircling Fissure. Number 5, Royal's Retribution. What's your list?
Number 1, Stasis Snare. Number 2, Retreat to Emeria. Number 3, I don't know why this is number 3, but Encircling Fissure, I think Angel of Renewal should be number 3.
Okay.
So 4 is Angel of Renewal, but I think, I don't know why I have that like that. No, Angel of Renewal is a better card. Put that number 3.
Fair enough.
Encircling Fissure number 4 and Undo Rising number 5.
So you got Undo Rising instead of Royal's Retribution?
Yeah.
I haven't been super impressed with Royal's Retribution. When it works, it really works.
That's the thing. It's inconsistent. And this is coming from someone that's gotten a literal like 3 or 4-for-1 from Royal's Retribution. But you got to leave the mana up, and it's a lot of mana. It's not like Gideon's Reproach where it's not a huge tax on your resources.
Right.
Yeah, it's good, but it's inconsistent, and there's a real price to pay.
The problem with it is that when you leave up the mana for Royal's Retribution, people play around Encircling Fissure.
Yeah.
And and that is bad, because playing around Encircling Fissure makes your Royal's Retribution really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the problem with the card, is that you've got these 2 tricks. They cost the same amount of mana.
Yeah.
And Encircling Fissure is hands down the bigger blowout. So they're not going to just run into an Encircling Fissure. So they'll attack with like a 6-6. And you go, oh, well, what does that do with my Royal's Retribution? You know, nothing. You know, like 6-6 Vigilance, only thing attacking. You're like hoping they'll just go, well, he must have just played a land and passed. He's got nothing. Team Swing, you know?
Yeah, Royal's Retribution and, to a lesser extent, Encircling Fissure go way down versus a good opponent.
It's true. It's very true. Encircling Fissure's good, though. I almost feel like Encircling Fissure could be higher than Retreat to Emeria. I think Angel of Renewal is really amazing. And this is just me valuing flyers ridiculously high.
Sure.
And you said Undo Rising. Undo Rising is the card that's been really inconsistent for me. I think to the point where I've been scared to run it.
Oh, it's been so – it's, like, been good. Like, it's been good most of the time I've played it, to be honest.
I've seen it be good against me almost every time it's been played. Actually, I had a great moment on Sunday when we played sealed. I just did a Phantom sealed on Moto Sunday because there was no scheduled event when I was going to stream, and they did not have the... I wish they would just leave it up. Like, why can't you just have enter sealed, keep the cards up? Like, why can't you just have that up? I guess there's this, like... I guess people get, like, feel bads for not opening bombs or something.
I guess.
I don't know. Well, anyway, I went into the Phantom sealed and went up 3-0-ing. It was really great. This was just the greatest play. So somebody was at one life or something. They cast Andu Rising, Awaken. They swing with three creatures, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I, after they attack, I sacrifice my spawning bed. Block, block, block. Sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. They gained zero life. It was such a blowout. It was such a cool play to recognize. You know what I mean? Like, it was just such a cool... It felt so good to recognize that out and to just totally blow the spell out and make it mean absolutely nothing. And then I just crack back and won the game.
Yeah, like that's an onboard trick that a lot of people are just going to miss.
Yeah, it was so good. I couldn't believe how freaking good it was. I was like, I could just sacrifice all of them. Like, they do nothing. They just paid 5 mana, tap 3 creatures you control.
Oh, God, that's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just amazing. It was really good. It was cool. I felt good about that. That was one of those plays where I was like, all right, I'm starting to get the hang of this. I've had two good sealed events in the last 2 weeks. I had a 4-0 daily and a 3-0 Phantom. But then I went 1-3 in the limited championship qualifier. So that was rough.
Mm.
But, oh well, you know, get those bad ones out of the way before this. I mean, all of this doesn't matter. None of this matters, ultimately. Isn't that good to hear? Hey, welcome to UMTG Taps. Nothing you hear right now matters. But the reality is, we can rank these cards all day, but if they're not in our sealed pool, they're ranked last. You know? Because if you don't have it, you can't play it. You can't wish it into your pool. But it's just...
It's still, you know, it's still good to have, like, a ranking of the cards.
Right, right. Well, yeah.
If you play around the best cards, you'll probably end up having the best possible game plan against an ideal opponent.
True. Yeah, that's absolutely right. So, you know, I'm not saying that this is entirely useless, but what I mean is, like...
Everything's useless. We're all heading to the void.
That's right. A very hopeful message for the people. So...
That one's for the children.
Yeah.
Just like Wu-Tang.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so let's get into the rares. I think the rares are fairly straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Number 1, Gideon. Number 2, Quarantine Field. Number 3, Planar Outburst. Number 4, Felidar Sovereign. Number 5, Emiria Shepherd. Do you have anything different?
I mean, just barely. 1, Gideon. I have Planar Outburst and Quarantine Field flipped. I have Planar Outburst 2, Quarantine Field 3. But, I mean, those are just... They're very similar effects.
Right, right, right.
And then for 5, I wasn't sure between Emiria Shepherd and Lantern Scout, actually.
Lantern Scout's really good. I feel like Emiria Shepherd's almost too expensive, but we are talking about sealed and not draft. That's the other reason why I have Quarantine Field above Planar Outburst,
mm-hmm.
because Quarantine Field is one of those cards that when I looked at it, I went, oh, that's not really that impressive. Okay, you get like, what, 2 things? No, it's almost always 3, and it's almost always your entire board, and that means that your opponent's entire board is still intact. And there's almost no enchantment removal in the set, so you never get those things back.
Yeah.
Have you ever blown up a quarantine? Have you ever blown up an enchantment in Battle for Zendikar Limited?
I want to say I have, actually.
Really? I have literally never destroyed an enchantment in Battle for Zendikar Limited. Unless it was exiled from, like, a Bane of Balaghead or something.
I sighted in a Reclaiming Vines versus someone that had, like, a Retreat to Emiria and a bunch of Awakened cards.
Hmm. Okay.
That was it. The one.
All right. Yeah.
It happened once.
But you only had the enchantment removal because it was also good against the Awakened Lands.
Yes.
Yeah. See. So there you go. So anyway, Quarantine Field is essentially a permanent exile on like your 3 best cards.
Sure.
Where Planar Outburst resets the entire board. Now, you know, in sealed, you have a better chance of actually awakening it, and then it gets very good. But I've almost always cast it for 5. I think the only time I've ever cast it is in draft.
It's a card that'll like actually pull a game to parity that no other card in the entire set will do.
Right.
At certain phases of the game, which Quarantine Field won't either. Like at 5 mana, Quarantine Field still just exiles one thing.
Right.
And if you're going to lose the game because they got off to a really quick start, like Planar Outburst is the one card at 5 mana that can do that job.
Right, right.
And then at the parts where the mana curve where Quarantine Field becomes really good at 8, we're exiling, was it 3 things? Then that's when you get to Awaken Planar Outburst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lantern Scout, I almost feel like Lantern Scout is correct in the 5th spot because Myriad Shepherd's really expensive. 7 mana and then it's landfall. You know, I just don't know if that's necessarily good enough.
I've gotten to a point where they dropped an Emiria Shepherd, and I just couldn't win the game from there. So I don't know. It just depends.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, like, I've dealt with a Lantern Scout, but, like, I've just been like, well, I can't beat this engine. Like, I don't have cards in my deck that can do that. They're both really good, though.
Sure. I'll stick with my Emiria Shepherd. Okay, let's just move on to blue.
Yep.
White's a great color. In
probably
in
the
sealed.
Best
sealed. It's a great color in draft. White in this set is pretty damn good. Okay, so my blue commons. I've got number 1 Eldrazi Skyspawner, number 2 Clutch of Currents, number 3 Benthic Infiltrator, number 4. This is probably where I'll create the most controversy. This is where I'll probably create the most controversy. Spell Shrivel. Number 5, Wave Wing Elemental or Tightening Coils or Merc Strider. So we got to narrow that down to 1. First of all, Wave Wing Elemental. Wave Wing Elemental is a card that I thought was unplayable when I first saw the set, and now I believe it is very good. Playable at minimum to great, depending on what you're playing against, especially if you're able to follow up with that land drop on the next turn and get in for 5.
Oh, yeah.
Tightening Coils is not just removal, but if you're playing blue, and especially if you're playing white alongside of it with a bunch of flyers, it doesn't just stop something from attacking. It takes something out of the air so you can get your stuff through, too.
Yeah.
That's the part that I think a lot of people just don't remember. Even Jeff, when I was playing him the other day, he was like, why isn't he blocking with his Tightening Coils thing? Does he not know? Not even realizing that the flying, you know, I couldn't block. It didn't have flying. And then Merc Strider is amazing, but you need to have ways to ingest before that becomes, I mean, it's unplayable if you don't have ingesters.
Yeah. And I think it's still like it's your 24th card if you only have one ingester, which is to say it's unplayable.
Yeah, you need like 3 to 4. In sealed, I'm not exactly convinced that you can get all the way there with that card. But I love the card otherwise. If you've got the deck for it, its value is enormous. But you need the deck for it. So I think that all told here, I think that what I'm going to do is I'm just going to, as much as I like Tightening Coils, as much as I like Merc Strider, the Wave Wing Elemental is a finisher, and it's a finisher in a way that none of the other commons I've listed are, and it's something that you're way more likely to get to. I think I'm going to go with the Wave Wing Elemental as my number 5.
Nice.
So go ahead and give me your 5 blue commons.
Sure. 1 through 3 were exactly the same. Number 4, I had Wavewing Elemental, which I don't know if that even feels right. And number 5, I had a tie between Tightening Coils and Coral Helm Guide.
See, yeah, Coral Helm Guide. And that's one that that I'm pretty sure should be on the list, to be honest. I made the list and I went, Coral Helm Guide, oh yeah. Nope, sticking with it. Just stuck to my guns. But I don't disagree with that at all. I really like Spell Shrivel.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it, especially in sealed, because people are trying to do bigger things. It's the same reason why Myers Malice is so good. You know, people are just waiting to get to 7 mana sometimes.
Yeah.
And Spell Shrivel can completely blow them out. And then also, like, if you're on the play and you've got, like, a turn 2, let's say you've got, like, say you played like a turn two wall, right? Like the 06 wall. Say you're in blue white. I don't know why I keep using blue white as an example. Let's just say you're in blue white and you start with the turn two wall, the 06. And then turn three, if they haven't played anything, they pass the turn, you can just hold up three mana, you know, and then just get rid of whatever they got going on. And then it exiles it. And it's also, you know, it also doubles as ingesting. And sometimes you're desperate, especially in sealed, if you've got like a really good processor, sometimes you're desperate for ingesting. And Spell Shrivel just fills that void very nicely. So I like Spell Shrivel. I like your list, though. I mean, not just because we agreed on 1 through 3, but Coral Helm Guide is amazing, and I didn't put it on my list for stubbornness purposes. Because I like Spell... I mean, I prefer Spell Shrivel just in terms of like cards that I value highly in sealed, but I don't disagree with the Coral Helm Guide at all. And I think that you're right. I think your list is good.
Spell Shrivel I'll bring in out of the board, especially if there's a card that I just know they have that I don't have a way to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's like quasi-removal.
Mm-hmm. It depends on my deck. You know, it depends on the build that I have. If I have a build that just lets me clog up the ground or just clog up the board and then hold up counter magic, I'll do that. You know, and then also, like, if you're in blue-black... Spell Shrivel really gives you a lot of flexibility because then you've also got Complete Disregard. You've got the option to be proactive or reactive.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that flexibility a whole lot. And because also your opponent doesn't know where the hell you're coming from. Because you're like, oh, they're like, oh my God. So they're playing around everything. You know, like you hold up three mana and it's blue and black. They have no idea. It could be any number of things. And hopefully it's one or the other. But anyway... So, good lists. Good commons lists. Blue uncommons. My list. Number one, Wind Rider Patrol. Number two, Adverse Conditions. Number three, Coastal Discovery. Number four, Horribly Awry. And number five, Tide Drifter. That's my list, and I'm sticking to it. What's yours?
Wow. Well, number one, Wind Rider Patrol, so we're good there.
Yeah.
Number two, Coastal Discovery, because... It's hard to find three for ones. Number three, Halimar Tidecaller, because you get to buy back your three for ones.
Okay.
Number four, I had Ruination Guide / Tide Drifter, but kind of in that order. And then number five, I had Dampening Pulse.
Wow. Yeah, that's totally different. Yeah, so you, no adverse conditions at all.
Nah, I don't like that card.
Really? I've been blown out by it quite a few times, which is why it moves very highly up my list. Halimar Tidecaller, man, I'll tell you, like, I love that card, but I've never gotten it to work, which is why it's not on my list. If I've ever been able to cast it, the times it's been in my deck, I've never drawn it. You know, the times I've wanted it, I've never had it in my deck, so I haven't really had a chance to play with that card, but I imagine it's very good.
It just does everything.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good Awaken cards in the format.
Mm-hmm.
And this even gives you the luxury of playing them early for less value than you'd normally like.
Yeah, so if you have a Halimar Tidecaller in your deck,
mm-hmm.
but you haven't drawn it, will you just run out your... Sheer Drop's a different animal, but like Clutch of Currents, will you run that out thinking, well, maybe I'll draw my Tidecaller and get it back?
No, it's probably not going to change the way I play it.
You'll wait otherwise. But if you have it in your hand, you'll just... Yeah, okay. Because that was the problem, was I was like... Cool, I got this card in my deck. I'm just going to play these spells. And then I was like, no, I never got my Tidecaller, so I never got it to work.
No, I wouldn't just like just run a Clutch of Currents out there as like an unsummon.
Sure, yeah. I think that was my problem with the card, like, you know, besides not drawing it, was playing as though I was going to draw it and never drawing it, which made my deck worse. But I like Ruination Guide. I love the fact that it ingests. Because it's like that's like text you just forget about on that card. Same thing with Dominator Drone.
Yeah.
You're not used to three power things also ingesting. We just assume they're all one power, I think. But they do. They've got so much text, though. You're just like, wow, okay.
It just makes all of your... It's just so much value. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It makes all of your spawns 2/1s, which is insane.
Right. I put Tide Drifter on my list for the same reason why... Like Fortified Rampart is good.
Yeah.
It just comes down early. It stops things. It really messes with your opponents in terms of being able to attack profitably into you. It just feels like a big, like, I feel like I've cast Tide Drifters on turn two, and that's, like, screwed up my opponent's entire game. Whereas, like, Ruination Guide, it's an aggressive card, but I don't necessarily think that I'm going to be playing super aggressive if I'm in blue.
It makes your Benthic Infiltrator really good.
It does. Oh, it really does. And your Sky Spawners and your...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it works so well with all the other blue cards.
The Mist Intruder, which didn't make either of our lists.
Yeah.
And commons. But it's perfectly playable.
People forget this, but your Awakened Lands are colorless, so...
That's right. That's right. They sure are. But Horribly Awry, I've had a lot of success with. I think it's a really good card.
I think it's okay. I just... In Sealed, there's not... Oh, it's four or less. For some reason, I keep thinking it's three or less.
Yeah, three or less, it wouldn't be on my list.
Yeah.
Four or less, it's amazing. It hits so many things at four or less.
I don't know. There's just a lot of solutions for cards that are converted mana cost one through three and even four. I think it's good, but I just don't think it's, like, irreplaceable. Whereas Ruination Guide does something that you normally can't get, and so does Halimar Tidecaller and Windrider Patrol and Coastal Discovery.
Right, right.
And then Dampening Pulse, I don't know. That was kind of a throwaway.
I like it, though. I've never played it. I've seen it played to pretty decent effect in Draft. I haven't seen it played in Sealed.
Shuts off all the
Benthic
Infiltrators.
And it shuts off the Infiltrators. And it shuts off a lot of the Ingesters, which is pretty good. If you're trying to stop from being ingested, that's a good way to start.
Yeah, and it ruins combat math, or just combat for your opponent.
Yeah.
It's just a bummer for them.
Yes.
But yeah. It does take up a card and doesn't really add to your board, so you got to be careful with that.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Blue rares, we've got Guardian of Tazim, number one. Drowner of Hope, number two. Scatter of the Winds, number three. Ugin's Insight, number four. And Exert Influence, a.k.a. Grasping at Straws to fill out the top five at number five. What do you have?
Guardian, Drowner of Hope. Ugin's Insight, number three. Exert Influence, number four. And then Scatter to the Winds is my Grasping for Straws.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Scatter that low?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Just a cancel.
I know, but it's a cancel that can make a creature, though. I think it's good.
It's all right, but this is a rare. I mean,
it's true.
It's a sometimes two for one. Exert Influence isn't always two for one. Ugin's Insight isn't always three to four for one. Drowner of Hope is a 3 to 4 for 1. Guardian of Tazim is just a bomb that takes over the game.
Yeah, it's true.
So Scatter of the Winds, conditional 2 for 1 that requires you to leave up a lot of resources and can be played around. I just like, it's okay. It's definitely playable. I mean, obviously.
Sure, sure. Yeah, it's a hard counter, and I mean, a lot of times we wouldn't play a hard counter, at least not main.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is the format for it. If you're going to play a hard counter in your deck, this is the format to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same. I mean, I've also got Spell Shrivel on my top blue commons. So obviously I'm valuing counter magic higher than you overall in this format. Now, neither one of us has Part the Water Veil on our top list. And I've never played it. I've had it in several sealed pools and I've never played it. Have you ever had a chance to play it?
No.
You think it's just not worth it at all?
It's not.
Okay.
It's because it's not good enough at six.
Yeah. At six, though, like, if you've got a good board position, if you've got good flyers, like, if you just need one more turn to finish off the game.
Yeah. I mean, that's just such a very specific game
but
state.
It's a late game. Yeah, but it's a late game card. You know what I mean? You have a late game card for a very specific game state most of the time.
Yeah, but this could just... I mean, like, what would you rather just... If you're already winning the game, would you rather have this or Wavewing Elemental?
Wavewing Elemental.
Yeah. So, I mean, at Mythic, like, this isn't, like... Yeah. That's just not very good. Like, Wavewing Elemental, we're like, maybe this is the fifth best common?
Right. I'm not judging these cards based on whether or not they're good rares. I'm judging them whether or not they're good in Sealed.
Well, I'm just saying
the fact that they're rare only puts them on the particular list.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm just saying, like, something that's, like, not as good clearly as the fifth best common in a specific color.
Yeah, that's telling.
Tells you something about its power.
true. Cool. Okay, good. Well, at least we've decided that. So, Black Commons, we're going right into Black. So, I've got number one, Complete Disregard. Number two, Myers Malice. Number three, Sludge Crawler. Number four, Demon's Grasp. Number five, Bone Splinters or Clastria Healer or Clastria Nightwatch. So, for me, Bone Splinters, you don't always want to, if you're playing anything other than blue-black or black-green, you're almost never going to be happy with what you're getting rid of for Bone Splinters, but in a pinch, it kills anything, and that's useful. Clastria Healer has a very specific deck that it goes into, or a very specific synergy that by itself is just useless. But
I've never gotten that to work in Sealed. I've barely gotten it to work in Draft.
Yeah, you know, that's actually true. For me, I've never gotten it to work in Draft. I tried. You have to go all in on that deck. With the black-white deck, mm-hmm. You can't just go, oh, I'm going to play some flyers and maybe a couple out. No. You got to draft that whole deck to make it work, or else it's just like a bunch of kind of garbage cards.
Yeah, and the odds that you just open it up are so low.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, you have to get it. In Draft, you have to get it passed to you. If you get that card passed to you, then you go in on it because someone else isn't. You know, and that's the thing is like once you, because those cards are draftable only together.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really important that like you read the signal and you take it right away, because if you pass that card, you are not in that deck. Like that's the simplest thing. That was the thing that I realized last week was that. And I should have even known better because Jeff, we all sit down to team draft and Jeff's like, man, I'm so tired of drafting blue. I'm going to try something different. And as soon as he said it, my gut instinct was this. Immediately my brain clicked over and thought he's going to try drafting that black white life gain deck. Right. That's what my brain said. But then I passed a Clastria Healer for like some sort of removal spell. I don't remember what it was, but then I saw something else that was for that deck and took it. I was like, well, maybe I can make it work. And I should have just been feeding him the deck. Like, if my gut said he was going to go into that, especially if I passed the healer, like, nothing says I'm going to draft something different like getting past a Clastria Healer.
First draft, sure.
Sure, that's what I'm saying. I should have went out on that. I should have drafted something else. But that's the thing. Like I said, my drafting has been really stubborn lately, and I've got to turn that around in the next week. And I was just like, well, I'm going to draft something like it. Something like it isn't it, and it doesn't work. But anyway, I think that we can safely agree that this is out of the top five.
Yep.
For Sealed. Now, lastly, Clastria Nightwatch is a 4/5 that when you gain life, it gains flying until end of turn. Solid body, 5-drop, play it without a single life gain card in the deck.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got removal here. We've got a healer. We've got the Nightwatch.
I like Bone Splinters.
You like Bone Splinters?
Yeah, it's just harder to find a replacement spell.
Yeah, I think so. Nightwatch, there's tons of things that serve that purpose of just being a body, especially like in the 5-drop slot. So,
yeah, I agree.
I think so. I think that Bone Splinters is the pick here. So we're going to go with Bone Splinters. Not that either of those other... Well, I think we've agreed that Clastria Healer is bad, but Clastria Nightwatch is not bad.
No, it's not.
At all. It's number 6 for sure. So what's your list of Black Commons?
One's Complete Disregard, 2 Sludge Crawler,
okay.
3 Myers Malice, 4 Bone Splinters, and then 5 was the Clastria Nightwatch / Demon's Grasp, and I think I'm just going to go with Demon's Grasp.
Cool. So we have the same list, just in a different order.
Yeah, essentially.
I don't even feel the need to debate it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's pretty close. I think Mindricker's an honorable mention.
Yeah, but it's conditional where you need to have complete disregard or sludge crawler. You need to have 1 through 3 in order for number 6 to make the deck. Right. Yeah, totally. It's a good card. It's really good and sealed. I mean, if we're playing Myers Malice, we'll probably play that too. It's a 3/3 body that makes them discard. When we're just holding cards in our hand waiting to hit that 7th mana so we can play our Bane of Balaghed. When you go cards in hand, your opponent says 2, you got 6 mana and a Myers Malice. That's probably the happiest moment in Sealed.
It's pretty good. It's pretty hard to find a 3-for-1 at common.
It doesn't even matter if they're lands. Like, it just does not matter.
No.
You just go, yeah, get rid of them. Give me my creature. and you're top decking the rest of the game. It's pretty good. So, black uncommons. My list is a little, it's out there, I think. I don't know. I didn't feel as solid on this as I felt about the commons. My number one, I'm pretty solid about, though. Number one, Grip of Desolation. Number two, Rising Miasma. Number three, Malakir Familiar. Number four, Hagra Sharpshooter. Number five, Zulaport Cutthroat. Rima, yours. I bet yours is different.
Not really.
Really? Really?
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, number one's the same. Number two, I have Malakir Familiar number two.
Okay, yeah.
And I have Hagra Sharpshooter number three. And then I have Rising Miasma number four. And then, like, there shouldn't be a number five, but I put Carrier Thrall.
Okay, yeah, I actually had Carrier Thrall and replaced it with Zulaport Cutthroat. So I had it, and I was like, oh, yeah, that card, because it was Z. I didn't scroll down that far. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, fine. We'll put that on the list. Rising Miasma is number two for me because of the... It's mostly a sideboard card. Actually, I think it's almost exclusively a sideboard card.
It's a really good one, though.
But, yeah, it's one of the best sideboard cards in the format. If you're playing against a deck that wants to get out the gate pretty fast, especially if you're playing against a bunch of landfall creatures, this card just goes, hey, guess what? Hey, you're going to lose the game in a bunch of turns. Like, it doesn't matter. It might not be next turn, but if I just cleared your board with this, you won't win. You can't. You can't come back from it. Like, just blowing up an entire board of, like, 2/2s and 2/1s and 1/1s that wants lands to come into play. It's a very good feeling. The Malakir Familiar is great. I mean, it's a solid body. The Sharpshooter, like, that wouldn't have been on my list last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'd never played with it until Sunday. But, man, I was like, you know what? I need a 3-drop. And normally, that would have been a Voracious Null. Would have just been in there as a filler. And the Sharpshooter just didn't make my decks. But... holy crap.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's so freaking good. Is it in the same... It is. It's the same cycle as, like, the Valakut Invoker, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, because I think those are common and this is uncommon, but yeah.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
It's the same.
It's the best of those. It's better than... I'd say it's better than the Invoker. Because, man, just taking out little blockers and...
Just ruining combat math.
Ruining,
yeah.
Utterly ruining it. Man, it's a good card. I'm so glad that that was one of those moments where I was like, I'm so glad that I'm playing with this card right now, you know, because it was the first chance I really had to evaluate it, or the first time I'd given it a chance to be evaluated, and ooh, it's so good. Such a good card. But yeah, so you said your list is pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Carrier Thrall's good.
Oh yeah, it's fine.
I like that card a lot.
It's just fine.
gets better if you have Bone Splinters.
Oh,
that's for
obviously,
sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's the one card in black that you're not sad to sacrifice to Bone Splinters.
No.
You know? Like, to a lesser extent, I guess, Zulaport Cutthroat, or I guess anything if you have a Cutthroat out. But, you know... it's the one card where you're like, I'm getting something back for this. I mean, you can even swing with it first and then sacrifice it.
Yeah, I've done that many times.
Yeah, uh-huh. Like, the interaction between those two cards is just lovely. So, rares and mythics, my list. I've got Obnixilis number one. I've got Drana number two, which probably isn't correct. I've got Ruinous Path number three. I think Ruinous Path is number two. Wasteland Strangler number four. And Ghoul Draws Overseer at number five. What you got for me?
One, two, and three, same.
Same as I originally said, or same. As I said I
should. Or no, as you originally said. I have Obnixilis, then Drana, then Ruinous Path.
Okay, cool.
And then I have a space signifying the significant drop-off after those three.
Sure.
And then number four, I have Smothering Abomination.
I see. Okay.
And then number five, I have Ghoul Draws Overseer, and that's another huge drop-off.
Right. Yeah. The only reason why I didn't put Smothering Abomination is because in my experience playing with the card, there's a tension with that card that just sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You never want to sacrifice your 4/3, because it says sacrifice a creature,
yep.
Right? So you can sacrifice it to itself, but 4/3 flyer is almost always your best creature.
Yeah.
So you don't want to sacrifice it to itself, but you also don't want to sacrifice anything that isn't an Eldrazi Scion to it. But you almost always wind up having to sacrifice something that isn't an Eldrazi Scion to it.
I mean, I feel like a lot of the 2-drops and 3-drops are really disposable in this format because they just get outclassed. Like, you just like a 2-2 on the ground or a 2-3 on the ground, and you're just like, well, this is no longer going to get in for damage on turn 5.
Right.
And I'd rather just have a card. And yeah, that's what this does. And then at some point, I end up just drawing answers for their other flyers or good cards because I'm drawing so many cards a turn. And then I just deal 20 with the Abomination.
Sure. Well, what wound up happening for me when I think I played it in draft is that I was playing blue-black and I didn't have enough things that made Scions, and I wound up having to sacrifice things that I actually wanted to keep alive.
Mm.
And they also had a board that I couldn't deal with. So, like, yeah, you can get in for 4 a turn, but if you've sacrificed your only blocker and they're coming through for like 12 the next turn, you know, it's worse.
It's not good when you're really far behind.
I don't know if I was even really far behind, but I feel like the card put me far behind.
And there's always the problem where you have the sacrifice trigger on the upkeep, and with that on the stack, they like grip a desolation you, and then you're just not in a good place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's lots of potential to be blown out by the card. And that's the thing that like, yeah, because you don't even draw a card.
I don't think you do, because it's no longer on the battlefield, and yeah.
Right, you don't even draw a card.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's just like a lot of downside to the card. I don't know, I don't like it, but I see why. I mean, sheer power level, drawing cards, extra cards every turn is very good. I feel like it has to be in the right deck. I feel like it actually just has to be in, like, black-green, frankly.
I think it just has to be in a deck that has a curve below it. So if you don't have any 2 or 3 drops, then this is going to be an issue.
When your 2 or 3 drops are like Mist Intruder, just for instance.
Oh yeah, that's fine.
It's okay.
Healer, Mist Intruder, Cutthroat.
Yeah.
Even like a Gnarled at some point, because it's just not getting in anymore. Anything that makes an Eldrazi Scion. Yeah, I mean, at that early of the game, the 4 power in the air is going to outclass everything. Anything that your bone's doing, 4 power flyer is going to outclass it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're drawing extra cards to make sure that it continues to outclass their board. In a late game, if you have a curve of creatures that are less than 4, you're going to have some irrelevant cards on the battlefield, unless you're really far behind. And that's fine. Not every card's going to be good in that situation. And the card's so good in parity situations early in the game, or where you're ahead, that I think it more than makes up for it in terms of the power level for those situations.
Right on. Let's go right into red commons. Well, my list will be controversial for one particular reason. Here's my list, 1 through 5. Number 1, Stone Fury. Number 2, Outnumber. Number 3, Valakut Predator. Number 4, Touch of the Void. Number 5, Mackindy Slide Runner or Nettle Drone.
Hmm.
So for number 5, Mackindy Slide Runner obviously is good in the Landfall deck, but also is just good. Nettle Drone is good in a particular deck, but when it's good, it's very good.
Yeah.
But it also always attacks for 3. Where Mackindy Slide Runner, you've got to hit that land drop to get it in for 3. Both are equally susceptible to sorcery speed removal. I think that for the purposes of discussing Sealed, I think I'm going to make that choice and make it Mackindy Slide Runner, because Nettle Drone is good in a Devoid deck, but you're way less likely to have one.
Also, I always seem to end up with a million 3-drops.
Yeah, it's true. A million 3-drops. This deck, this format is just rife with 3-drops. Read me your list.
I got number 1, Touch of the Void. Number 2, Stone Fury. Number 3, Outnumber. Number 4, Undo Champion. That should be Valakut Invoker. Or, sorry.
Yeah, I didn't put Invoker on my list, and I'm not necessarily sure that's correct.
And I have number 5, Valakut Invoker, actually. I think Valakut Predator should be in there somewhere, but I just found it a lot less impressive in Sealed. Because I didn't find a lot of success with aggressive decks. And then, more so, I found way less success with aggressive decks starting at 3.
Yeah, I hear that.
So, but Invoker, like, it's a serviceable 3-drop, but there's just, like, a little countdown to Doomsday clock going on in your opponent's head. Because, like, when you get to 8, like, it just takes over the game, which is kind of crazy for a 3-drop common.
I think that Touch of the Void is the worst removal spell in Battle for Zendikar sealed besides Unnatural Aggression.
Okay, I was about to say.
So I think that I hate the card. I absolutely hate it. Yeah, there's a lot of things that it kills, but I feel like every time I've got a Touch of the Void in my hand, I'm staring down a 4-power creature or a 4-toughness creature. Mm-hmm. Going, okay, this card is utterly useless because it's sorcery speed. You just can't do anything with it. If it was instant speed, yeah, it would be number one on this list because it does exile. It enables ingesters. But
yeah, it hits sorcery the face too.
It does. It can end the game. Sorcery speed, 3 damage, 3 mana, have not loved. In fact, have pretty much hated it. Haven't been happy with it most of the time I've had it in hand. Where Stone Fury, you got to hit 5 mana, but once you hit 5 mana, you're pretty much killing whatever it is that you've been to deal with.
I've enjoyed Stone Fury a lot. Outnumber's great too. It's just a lot more in terms of like its potential results are a lot more
varied.
Yeah.
I've probably cast it, but I haven't played with Outnumber hardly as much as I've played with Stone Fury, Touch of the Void. So much so that, like, I think I've not run Outnumber a couple times and run every copy of Touch of the Void, where I didn't think that Outnumber was good enough at one point, but obviously number 2 on my list of commons, I've changed my tone on that a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though I still have had limited amount of experience playing the card itself. But in my experience with Touch of the Void, it's been almost all negative. I think that I like Valakut Predator. I like McKindy Slabber. I like Valakut Predator because it can attack into Benthic Infiltrator.
Yes.
And that's also the reason why I don't like Slide Runner as much. But Slide Runner with just like one trick can get in there.
Yeah, that's the problem with all the 2-drops in this format. It just seems like they get outclassed really quickly.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. I think I almost feel like the Valakut Invoker should be my number 5 instead of the Slide Runner, to be honest. Like, listen, you know, going back and thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that you'll run like 2 or 3 Slide Runners, but you won't run like 2 or 3 Invokers.
True, true. I've actually never wanted to run 2 Invokers.
Yeah.
I almost always want to run just one. But yeah,
first one's amazing, though.
If you have Slide Runner and you're playing red and you have 3 Slide Runners, you'll run all 3. And I think that it's a card that actually gets better in multiples. It's the same thing with allies, where like you play as many of them as you can, and then every time you play a land.
Well, yeah, and then you're like all your landfall tricks, like natural connection, just get a lot better.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
the reason I just have it ranked lower is just that you can have a game where you cast it on turn, on curve, and it never gets to attack.
Yeah, I've had that happen actually a couple times.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm like, this is like, because I was like, this is specifically for sealed. For draft, it would clearly be in the top 5.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, okay. So, red uncommons.
Yep.
Number 1, I don't think we'll have many disagreements here. Maybe we will. Number 1, Rolling Thunder. Number 2, Turn Against. Number 3, Vile Aggregate. Number 4, Fire Mantle Mage. Number 5, Retreat to Valakut.
I had Rolling Thunder, Turn Against, Vile Aggregate, so the 3 are the same. And then I had Chasm Guide, and then Fire Mantle Mage.
Okay, so no Retreat. I like Retreat.
Retreat was number like 6 for me.
Sure, sure. Chasm Guide's really good. That's the one that gives haste, right? Yep. Yeah. I like it just fine. 3-2 haste for 4. We played that in Origins just fine.
Yeah, and then it just gets insane after that.
If you have allies. That's the thing, is that that's the problem, though, is that I haven't found myself playing too many red allies. So, like, I feel like Fire Mantle Mage, because I treat a lot of the red allies as spells, because most of the time when I'm playing them, I'm not playing other allies to support them. So Fire Mantle Mage is a great spell, where you pay 3 mana and you've got menace for your team, whereas Chasm Guide, you essentially are just getting a Chasm Guide, you know? So that's why I have Fire Mantle Mage and not Chasm Guide. I just haven't found in Sealed, I haven't found the allies to be worth playing, because things like, what's the Core Castigator? Is that what it's called?
I think it's horrible.
The the 3-1, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's terrible. The 2-1 is terrible. The 1-1 pump your team is terrible. And those are, like, the basis for, like...
Those are the basis for draft allies decks. I think
sealed,
you're more likely to pair it with green.
Sure, okay, all right.
And then you get Undo Champion, Shatterskull Recruit, and then the Chajuru Beastmaster and Warcaller. And then it's just fine after that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, given the 5/5 haste, yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. All right, so red rares. Number one, Dragon Master Outcast. Number two, Akum Hellkite. Number three, Serpentine Spike. Number four, Akum Firebird. And number five, Porridge Tyrant. What do you got?
We're
not naming another episode Porridge Puns. No more Porridge Puns in Taps titles.
Oh, boy. No more puns?
I didn't say that.
You said no more puns ever? Hold on.
Absolutely.
I have a bottle of champagne I've been saving for this moment. Just go to my refrigerator really quick. Rares, number one, I had Dragon Master Outcast, no different. Number two, I had Radiant Flames.
Oh, I forgot about that card. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it blows people out. Like, I've never seen it not blow things out. The thing is, you obviously have to be able to get it up to three.
I like that so much that I'm knocking Barrage Tyrant off my list, and I'm going to put that in the exact spot you put it at number two.
Number three, I've got Akum Hellkite. Number four, Serpentine Spike. That card's just so stupid. And then I think I was having trouble at number five. I think I put Barrage Tyrant in there.
Yeah, I've got Firebird number five now because I'm literally just moving everything down one and putting Radiant Flames number two. Because I 100% agree with that. I think I just like legitimately skipped the card. Yeah. Radiant Flames. What the hell was I thinking? Yeah, absolutely. And so then at that point, our lists are almost identical.
Yeah. The only problem with Akum Firebird is just that like that Mantis can just block it all day.
That is true. But they have to have the Mantis, which means they have to be playing green.
That's true. Yeah.
And my problem with the Firebird and why it's five on my list and not like three on my list or four, because I was kind of kicking back and forth between that and the Hellkite, honestly, because it's so much cheaper and it has haste, so you're getting in super early, is that so many removal spells exile.
Yeah.
You know, and this gets hit by all of the ones that do.
Yep.
So, yeah, so that's the problem with the Firebird, is that happens. You know, I actually, just thinking about the fact that I have not... I've had Stasis Snare exactly one time, but I've never considered the fact that Stasis Snare can enable my Blue Ingesters. Same with Quarantine Field, which is way less likely, but it's one of those things that, like, you just stick the card underneath of it and forget about it, you know?
Yeah.
You can totally process a card that's been Stasis Snared.
Yep.
And that's something to just remember. That's something to keep in mind if you're playing in this limited format, that you can do that. I thought of it when we were reading the spoilers, and then I thought about it again just now. So I'm glad I mentioned it on the podcast. Don't forget that, everybody. I'm sure I'm the only one who has. So let's just go into the green commons. Number one, Territorial Bailoff. Number two, Unnatural Aggression. Number three, I have a choice between Snapping Gnarled and Tajuru Stalwart. We'll get there. Number four, Tajuru Beastmaster. Number five, Giant Mantis. So, Snapping Gnarled or Tajuru Stalwart. So, Gnarled is it's a 2-2, right? Doesn't have Trample.
No.
But it has Landfall, +1/+1 until end of turn. And the Tajuru Stalwart is the 0-1 that has the, what's it called? Converge?
Mm-hmm.
Right, Converge, where it gets +1/+1 for each color that was cast or spent to play it, which it can be a 3-4 for 3 at maximum. Neither one of these get through a Benthic Infiltrator, which I think a lot of times is the gold standard for blocking in this format. Can your card get through that? If it can't, it's probably not the best card. But I like both of these cards. I think that for the purposes of... And this is interesting because Snapping Gnarled is really good for Landfall, and if you're playing green, you're probably playing Landfall or you're playing Allies, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much the two decks. You also could be playing a crazy Eldrazi Scion swarm deck as well in a weird world, but mostly you're playing one of those two decks. So Snapping Gnarled's good in that deck. Tajiru's Stalwart is good in an allies deck, but it's also good in green naturally because you have natural connection. You've got ways to fix your mana in green that you don't have in other colors. So your chances of making a 3-4 are just very good. So this is a tough call. Which one do you think is better?
In sealed Stalwart.
You think so?
Yeah, just because if you're playing green, you're probably playing ways to splash more colors. So more often than not, you'll like be able to get the 3-4. Right. And that's just going to be a lot more relevant than a 2-2.
Right. Yeah, I like that. That's sound reasoning. And I think with your reasoning, I am going to make that decision. And I'm going to make it to Tajiru Stalwart. So that's my top five. Now go ahead and read me yours.
My number one is Tajiru Beastmaster. I'm biased towards all the allies. I think we picked that up already.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two, a natural aggression, like the only green removal spell.
Yep.
Number three, I have Lifespring Druid / natural connection, so you can splash colors with good cards. And then four, Territorial Bailoff, and five, Eyeless Watcher.
Okay, yeah. And natural connection and Eyeless Watcher at different points were both on my list. Considering how high I value flyers, that's where Giant Mantis made my list, because if you're going to be playing green, you probably need to find some way to stop flyers because you don't have flyers.
Sure. It's like, yeah, it's an indispensable sideboard card, but like if they have, or, you know, even main deck card, because it just, it blocks really well, even if they don't happen to be flyers. But if you don't see any flyers, then I just side out.
Sure. But flyers are so good in this format. I think that it's a must main deck card that you can, you know, side out without fear if you don't.
Yeah, it's not like Plummet where it's just a dead card.
Right. Yeah, it's just fine. Game one. Yeah, Bailoff I like because its baseline is I get through Benthic Infiltrator and its landfall is I get through the Fortified Rampart.
Yep.
You know, so I feel like that's a really good card that breaks through. Beastmaster is really good. I do really like Beastmaster, but the thing is, like, if you're paying six mana to play an ally, if Beastmaster was landfall instead of rally, like, Beastmaster would be number one. But the fact that it's rally, I found myself playing it for six mana, getting a team pump, and then almost never getting a second trigger off of it. And maybe that's just the kind of decks I've been playing, you know? Or just the fact that I've run out everything else, and then that's the last card I've got, and then I'm playing off the top of my deck.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the end of the world either. You get a mini Anthem one time, and then you have a 5-5, and it's all like, oh, I can't believe we have this 5-5 sticking around.
It's true. It is very good. No, it's a good card. I mean, I don't disagree with your positioning on anything you said. What were the cards that you... Eyeless Watcher...
Yeah,
I like it.
It's fine.
It's a board clog for sure. And you and your Tajiru Warcaller have a good time with that.
Yeah, I know. All these, like, I'm extremely biased just because if I'm going to play green, I'm like the Dos Equis guy. I don't always play green, but when I do, I prefer Tajiru Warcaller.
That's true.
Yeah.
With that said, green uncommons, I've got it number one. Tajiru Warcaller. Yeah. It's hard to debate. Number two, I've got Retreat to Kazandu. Number three, I've got Scythe Leopard. Number four, I've got Plated Crusher, although I feel like Plated Crusher might actually be better in sealed, but I stuck with my stubbornness. Number five, I've got Brood Monitor for the same reason why you've got Eyeless Watcher.
Yeah, when you said Scythe Leopard, I almost like blew a whistle and threw a penalty flag on the field. What are you talking about? What are you doing?
There aren't a lot of really good one drops in this format. And
how many turns is a one drop going to matter in this format?
Not a lot.
That's not worth a slot in your deck.
Probably not.
I think it's unplayable. Right. I actually made, like, in my notes, each color I have, like, trap, but not each color, like, whenever it comes up. And, right here. I have in all caps, don't play Scythe Leopard, okay?
All right, good. Well, let me hear. Well, no, that's good. This is good. This is why we're talking about this stuff. You know, we've been pretty good tonight. We've mostly been
in agreement.
We've been in agreement on a lot of things. So that's good. I mean, it's good that if we're both thinking the same way, that's a good sign.
Yeah, Yeah.
Because we're
because
the format is what it is. What we're saying are our opinions on a format where the cards are objectively good or bad. You know? So if we are coming to agreement on a lot of things, that means we are figuring out the format. So that's good.
Yeah, that's the thing with Sealed, is that like you can actually come to objective quote-unquote power rankings because it's not self-correcting.
Right.
Because you open the cards, you open, and that's what you build with. Whereas Draft, if everyone loves something, then it automatically makes that worse. Yeah, mine, I had Tajir Warcaller number one, I had Broodbinder number two, and I did not even put a 3, 4, or 5.
Amazing. God, you are biased against towards that deck, aren't you?
Yeah.
Not even Retreat to Kazandu? That card is just fine.
It's fine. It's fine. I don't know. I just don't like these cards that you set them down, and then I'm like, oh, I'll get some marginal incremental value later down the line, but it's not Greacher.
Well, what's nice about the Retreat to Kazandu versus the other retreats is that the pump is permanent.
Yeah.
That's the only one where that's the case. And that's why I like that one.
I think it's absolutely playable. I was just being a little extreme.
Yeah, sure. Totally.
I don't like it that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like Plated Crusher. Like, it's a great card, but you got to get to 7. I value 7 drops with one exception. I value 7 drops very low. Well, 2 exceptions, I guess. Anyway, green rares.
Mm-hmm.
And my list is a little controversial, probably. Number 1, Woodland Wanderer. Number 2, Green Warden of Marasa. Number 3, Undergrowth Champion. Number 4, Oren Reef Hydra. Number 5, From Beyond. What's yours?
I've got From Beyond number 1.
Yep.
Number 2, Green Warden of Marasa. Number 3, Undergrowth Champion. Number 4, Woodland Wanderer. I mean, these are all just dudes. And then number 5, Beast Color Savant.
Which one is that? That's the tap for mana of any color, haste, ally. Yep. Of course it's an ally. That's why it's on your list.
Yeah, why not?
Woodland Wanderer, man. Like, Green Warden is cool and all, but I've gotten blown out so hard by Woodland Wanderer. Like, that card just comes down, and it's just so big, and I mean, the Vigilance, was that really necessary? Come on. Cut us some slack here. Such a good card. I think it's just so good. Green Warden, you got to have something in your graveyard, obviously. Not that that's hard to do. And I've seen it played to great effect. Actually, I had a really funny situation. They had Green Warden. They got back a Clutch of Currents.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's a bummer.
They bounced like my Merc Strider, right? So I had, what? I think I had 7 mana. I went, fine. And then I bounced their Green Warden. They replayed it, and I spell shriveled it. It was amazing.
That's cool.
I was like, fine. He was like, I'll play the game. All right, let's do this. It was a really interesting situation, because I was just like, I can't believe that I'm going to bounce a Green Warden to Marasa, but I'm going to. And it's really funny, because they had Kiora. They could have activated, they could have floated some mana,
mm-hmm.
and they would have had the 4 mana to pay, but they just ran the Green Warden right back out, and I was like, yep, you didn't do it. Gotcha. But it was, I had to just play, like, I couldn't play around them playing correctly, you know? I couldn't play around them playing around my counterspell, so I had to just hope for the best, because I was probably going to lose if I didn't. And I actually wound up winning that. That was crazy. I won through Green Warden and Kiora. Pretty good. So From Beyond. Yeah, From Beyond's really good. I don't know why I haven't ranked it higher. And I think I've, like, just haven't wanted to play it even, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it gets worse if you don't have anything to search up.
That's true. I think that I've never really had anything to search up when I've had it in my pools or whatever.
But just realize that, like, almost every colorless creature, even if it's not, like, any devoid creatures in Eldrazi. So just keep that in mind.
That is true. That is very true.
These aren't great things to search up normally, but they're still, you know, something.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, with my rankings, I was just like, well, From Beyond does something that's, like, different. Like, it can just sit there and win you the game, essentially.
Yeah.
Or just chump block forever. And that's something that's not really something that these other cards can do. Because I'm like, yeah, Woodland Wanderer is great. Just a really good rate on a good body with good abilities. And just they're all good dudes that die to removal. So that's right. All the green rares. And so from beyond, right. I just broke the tie because it's doing something different. Although Green Warden is really obnoxious with any removal. And it's sealed, so you're definitely running removal.
Yeah. So just, okay, we got a couple more, and then we're going to be done. So I've got a list. So other. So we just did other. We just lumped in colorless, gold cards, and artifacts. So here's my other common rankings. Number one, Ruin Processor. Number two, Kozlik's Channeler. There's literally only five of these, so we had to rank all of them. Number three, Scour from Existence. Number four, Eldrazi Devastator. Number five, Hedron Blade. that's like literally all five commons in Cullis, in those three different categories. I love Ruin Processor. I'm very happy to play it. You process where you exile one thing over the course of the game, and this thing comes down and just gets you back in there if you're out, you know? I think it's really good. The Channeler's great because it taps for mana, gets you to the Ruin Processor, frankly.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things. There are a lot of other 4/4s, but this just fits in any deck, so that's pretty good. Scour is kind of Eldrazi Devastator is kind of blah, and Hadrian Blade is kind of bleh. So, but really, you know, it's down to like number one and two there for me. So do you have a ranking of those at all?
I just have one Kozlik's Channeler, two Ruin Processor. That's it.
No, incorrect. One Ruin Processor. Ruin Processor is the best.
Yeah, it costs seven.
Nah, Kozlik's Channeler isn't as good. I just wanted to argue over something stupid. Okay. Uncommons. Number one, Bane of Balaged. Number two, Deathless Behemoth. Number three, Royal Spout. Number four, Drana's Emissary. And number five, because this was a very clogged uncommon list... Because there were a lot. It like went from like having only five to having like 25 to pick from. Number five, I just went with Pilgrim's Eye because it was the safer bet. But I do really like Royal Spout and Emissary. But anyway, read me your list and then we can talk about those.
Sure. One, I had Drana's Emissary. Two, Deathless Behemoth. Three, Catacomb Sifter. Four, Royal Spout. And then... five, Grove Rumbler, but then Bane of Balaged is like number six, so.
Yeah. Bane's always been really good. I mean, you just exile, even if you're exiling two lands. I always feel like any time I've turned it sideways that it hasn't been responded to by a turn against has been absolutely, like, if it doesn't blow them, even if they sacrifice two lands, I mean, you work the whole game to get those land drops.
Yeah.
You know, and like most of the time they're like, oh, I'll just sacrifice my lands. Now I'm on four mana, you know, like not great.
Yeah. And then if it attacks a kid, it's like, well, I just lose.
Right. Right. But the best thing, the one cool thing that you can do with turn against is with the sacrifice, with the exile trigger on the stack, you can turn against their Bane of Balaged and exile it to itself. Then you only lose one thing and they lose their Bane of Balaged. So... seven. I mean, basically, at that point, it becomes a Scour from Existence that they had to wait a whole turn, and you get to choose. So, not good. I don't disagree with anything you said. The Catacomb Sifter's great. There was just so many things. I was just overwhelmed, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, there's just too many to choose from. There were. And for Sealed, it really just depends on if, like, it can be a tiebreaker in terms of what color combinations you want to play. It really depends.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't list Skyrider Elf. You didn't list the Double Strike Ally. So I'm kind of surprised by both of those. Not that I thought you would have both of those on your list, but those are both fine cards.
Yeah, they're both, yeah.
I've never played Skyrider Elf. I've never cast it. I've cast Resolute Blademaster quite a few times to varying degrees of effect.
I've cast multiple Skyrider Elves on turn... Actually, no, a turn early because of a Lifespring Druid for five.
Nice. Wow. Jesus. Well, I want to do that, but I haven't had a chance to. So now this is the rest of the rares and mythics from the set, without counting lands. I've got number one, Endless One. Number two, Oblivion Sower. Number three, Sire of Stagnation. Number four, Fathom Feeder. And number five, Noyandar Royal Shaper. What do you have?
I've got number one, Omnath.
Oh, there's an Omnath. I forgot about that.
Number two, Endless One. Number three, Conduit of Ruin. Number four, Noyandar. And number five, Brutal Expulsion.
Yeah, Brutal Expulsion's been pretty good.
I think that's just me because I've gotten blown out by that.
Yeah, I can see that. Fathom Feeder's so good. Sire of Stagnation's really good. Oblivion Sower, I just think all these cards are pretty
good.
Yeah, solid.
They're just good rates on decent bodies. Like, very
just
good
a bunch
bodies.
Of them. Mm-hmm. Endless One is the most... Endless One's such a cool card.
But could you imagine, like Oblivion Sower's body, but on Endless One's mana cost? Oh, man.
All right. Lands, I'm ranking them.
Oh, boy.
Number... And this is fairly obvious, though. Number one, and I don't know if it's obvious though.
Yeah.
Number one, Shambling Vent. Number two, Lumbering Falls. Manlands, they're good. Surprise. Number three, Evolving Wilds. Guess what? You probably want to play three colors. You want Evolving Wilds. Number four, Blighted Gorge. It deals two damage. It's the only one that lets you pick what you're killing. Number five, Sandstone Bridge, because Vigilance is good. That's my list.
Oh, God. I didn't put Evolving Wilds because I felt like cheating. I didn't even consider the Manlands, actually. I guess the problem is, like, you have to be in those colors, but you're so tempted to use them to splash. But if you use them to splash, you don't get to activate them. So they're not that good.
Right.
What did I do? I think Blighted Gorge 1, Blighted Cataract 2, Blighted Steep 3, and then the White Spell Land. I can't even remember. You just said it.
Sandstone Bridge.
Yeah. And then Looming Spires.
Which one is that?
First Strike. Although Mortuary Mire is probably better.
Oh, yeah. The First Strike one's good. All of those are pretty good.
Yeah.
They all have their purpose. I just put one on the list because I hadn't. I don't know. This list was kind of cheating. Manland's good. Evolving Wild's good. Breaking news.
I've got the basic press. Plains, then basic Island.
Yeah, I definitely when
basic
I sent
mountain, basic swamp, and then basic forest.
When I sent Steven the message that said rank your top five lands, I wrote non-basic because I knew what I'd get if I didn't. We're not going to actually rank the basic lands. It's just been a tease.
Maybe I'll do that on the road. Just
yeah.
Rank all the art from this set.
From all sets. All right. Well, let's wrap it up because it's 1 a.m. I've got 3 hours before I have to leave for Baltimore. So it's time for me to finish packing and start editing. So Atlanta this weekend, hopefully we'll have some success to talk about there. This is my last shot of the year. Last shot to get on the tour. So I've got my goal. I've got my goal in sight of 39 points. That's the start. That's the starting goal. 39 points this weekend in the tournament, and I make the Pro Tour. If we get to 39, then we can start looking at the top eight. But 39 is the magic number this weekend because I want to get on that tour. I want to get that money. So, and we've done our homework. We have. I think we've got a good understanding here of the sealed format, and I'm feeling really confident about that. I'm going to do a little bit of brush up, just a little bit of tightening up on my draft fundamentals this week at night while I'm in Baltimore just to get ready for day two. Because you just want to go into one of these things assuming. It was so funny. I was talking to Ryan today and he was like, man, your mindset. I could never have your mindset. And it's just like, man, it's like, because he's like, I just take it too seriously. And then I just feel bad when I don't have the result. And like, you know. What he doesn't realize is that, like, I have a very serious mindset when I go into these tournaments to win, you know? But I don't, if I don't get the result that I'm going into it wanting, it doesn't really bring me down.
Yeah.
You know? Because, like, the worst case scenario this weekend is I scrub out, I spend the weekend in Atlanta with my wife, and we have an awesome time. Get to do the CNN studio tour. I have my tinfoil hat, though, underneath my hat. I got my tinfoil to put underneath my
very nice.
My Cubs hat, so don't worry. I'll be safe. Actually, it will probably be a Braves hat by the end of the weekend. It'll be cool, though. So it's a win-win, you know? It's a win-win, and I'm regardless of what I do, I'll be happy with the fact that I went down there and I tried my best, you know? But I don't walk into a room... I don't go all the way to Atlanta thinking I'm just going to screw around and have fun and play Commander.
It's the Commander weekend.
Yeah, I know. But I'm walking into that room to win that tournament. Any other result will be less than desirable, but it won't be disappointing. It won't be, like, heartbreaking. But I don't see the point in showing up if I don't think I'm going to win. But we're going to go. But I'm going. And I won't talk to you about it, but I'll probably talk to Jeff and tell him about it next week.
Nice.
So, yeah, until next time, whenever that might be for you, we are YoMTG Taps.
Stop bitching. Start building seal pools. Less on the brewing this week.
Yeah, yeah, we're on to the next one. Yeah, yeah, the album's already done. Yeah, yeah, collect the funds before we do these shows. Gotta go on a press run. Yeah, yeah, we're on to the next one. Yeah, yeah, the album's already done. Yeah, yeah, collect the funds before we do these shows. Gotta go on a press run.
Yo, the rhyme raised more eyes once I ride through the doors.
YoMTG Taps is available every Friday on legitmtg.com, iwantmymtg.com, mtgcast.com, iTunes, Stitcher, BrainLink, Telegraph, and via passenger pigeon at pigeoncast.com. Questions, comments, or free sticker requests that I will hopefully one day get around to can be sent to yomtgtaps@gmail.com. The intro music is the song Press Run by the amazing Baltimore MC You'll Never Know and is produced by W. Additional background music produced by Logic Marsalis. Purchase all of their music at magneticmoments.bandcamp.com. That's magnetic with a K. Seriously, purchase all of their music. Find us on Twitter and Facebook to guarantee infinite happiness forever. Finally, make sure to check out my weekly limited stream, Head Games with Big Head Joe, every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/legitmtg. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.